say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you...
Hello everyone and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Izzo and oh wow, do we have a great show again for you this week. I would love to say to you that all the way from Northern Ireland is my friend and guest, Irvin Nugent. But that's not true. He is from Northern Ireland. He just happens to be here in the States. But he is joining us, and he has written this outstanding book entitled Leadership Lessons from the Pub. Yeah, that's what I said. Leadership Lessons from the Pub. Harnessing the Power of Emotional Intelligence to Build a Fully Engaged Workplace. Yes, Dr. Irvin Nugent is with us, and I'm going to tell you something about this book. First of all, there are some critical lessons for you, your team, your culture, that I know can help you immediately. It's very well written. It's an excellent book. We're going to dig into this, but you know what we do, right? Before we get to him, let's do what we do every week. I walk you through the four areas of your life. We are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual people. Matter of fact, I thought it was really interesting that in his book, Irvin really did pull out that we are physical, mental, and emotional, and spiritual people. It just is the truth. It really is. And so I want to, and here's the deal. You know, because I want to do this every week, because as I do this every week, I know that if we're not growing, we're dying in any one of those areas. We do not stay static. If you don't believe me, look in the mirror from now to about 20 years ago or 10 years ago. Trust me, your body has changed. No matter what you did, it's changed. Irvin and I color my beard. Irvin has the courage to not color his beard, but I have to do it. I'm just not ready for that yet. So listen, let's talk about physical, right? So what do we mean by the physical? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself in the areas of getting exercise every day, or, you know, most every day, eating the right foods, right? Getting enough sleep, drinking enough water. If you were to put that all together, how would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being miserable, 10 being great in terms of your growth, right? All right. By the way, it doesn't matter what the number is. Whatever that number is, that number is. The point is, have a number so that you have a place that you can grow from. That's the point. So if your number's a 3, I'm not trying to get you to a 10. If your number's a 3, let's go to a 3.5. or 4, because you could certainly do something to change that. Maybe it's give up the soda. Maybe it's cut the sugar. Maybe it's, you know, take your hand out of the bag of chips. Whatever that may be, right? Maybe it's taking the dog for an extra walk. Whatever it may be, go to bed a little earlier, right? Whatever it is, that's where we start, okay? So you got your first number. That's your physical number. Second number is the mental number. What do I mean mentally? Well, we can all mentally grow in whatever we do. How is your knowledge of what you do in your work? Right? What are you reading, right? I'll tell you something. Reading is an active way to participate in your mental growth because it means that you have to actively do something, right? Right there. Now listen, I love audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks, but if you're going to do audiobooks, take notes because you need to have that other modality to help you ingrain that into your brain. It's just a fact, right? By the way, there is a lot of ways you can do mental growth. Learn a new instrument, learn a new language is phenomenal. Uses both halves of your brain, right? So, you know, learning is real important to you. Grow in wisdom. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say learning is growing actively? All right. So you got two numbers. Third number is emotional. Trust me, I have Dr. Irvin Nugent who does a ton of work in emotional intelligence. And we talk about emotional intelligence, emotional quotients. And him and I are both big fans of Daniel Goleman, who has written a lot on terms of emotional intelligence. But I'm just going to break it down simply two things. One is, how well are you able to control your emotions under stress? Right? Because it's easy to control your emotions when you're not stressed out. How are you controlling your emotions under stress when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when you're hungry? We do have a choice there. As Dr. Nugent will point out, we have a choice in how we want to respond to anything emotionally, right? So that's the first part. Second part of it is, how well are you able to tap into and understand the emotions of other people? And sometimes that requires you to have a bigger emotional vocabulary. Oftentimes what happens is we don't have an emotional vocabulary big enough to really understand the emotions of people. It also requires us to actively listen to each other. Right. And one of the things that Irvin will tell you is that here's a neat little key. If you want to actively listen to people, be curious, ask questions. It's a great way to stay engaged with them, but also listen for their emotional tone. Right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself emotionally? And then finally the spiritual end. And a lot of people say to me, well, I'm not spiritual. We're all spiritual. We're all spiritual. Matter of fact, Irvin in his book talks about thin places, places where we go, where we feel like we are in another dimension, when we learn more about ourselves and we connect with our creator, or we connect with something that is bigger than ourselves, where we can remove the physical, the mental, and the emotional, and we know that there's something where time has stood still and it's just bigger than we. And then I would also say that emotion, and when it comes to the spiritual part of it, it's if you remove the physical, the mental, and emotional, it's what you have left. I would also say to you this, you have faith in everything. You things that have not happened yet you believe in, that's faith, that's spiritual. You know, and for some people it's God, for some people it's nature, for some people it's meditation, for some people it's other things. Two questions, how's it working for you and what do you need to change to make it work for you? Right? So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your spiritual side of your life? So those four areas are like the four areas of a chair. If the chair legs are uneven, right, what happens? You know, posture is messed up. By the same token, if that chair is too low and all four of those areas are too low, we can't get nourished at a normal table, and we need to do that. And speaking of my friend, Irvin Nugent, who has got all his legs at the right level, and he is absolutely where he needs to be, is Irvin Nugent has spent most of his career helping leaders harness the power of their emotions so that they can have deeper connections, make better decisions, and increase their influence, not to mention profitability. He possesses 15 plus years in senior leadership roles in organizations of various sizes, stages of growth, and different sectors. He is experienced in challenging business environments and has worked extensively with the executive emerging leaders as an executive coach and consultant, helping them become more self-aware, manage their emotions, read the emotions of others, and manage their relationships. Sounds vaguely familiar to something we just talked about. Born in Northern Ireland, Irvin brings to his audiences a rich and varied experience. Growing up in a society torn apart by division and violence, he has seen firsthand the damage done when communication breaks down and people fail to listen and understand. This has inspired him to help leaders build workplaces in which people thrive and realize their full potential. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome to A New Direction for the first time, Dr. Irvin Nugent. Welcome, Irvin.
Hey, Jay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation. Excited to be here.
Well, thank you. I am excited to have you here. Listen, I told you before the show started, I loved the book. And I just want to go ahead and let's just jump right into chapter one, which is titled Watch Me Rebuild. You were born in Ballymagory. Did I say that right?
Yep, Ballymagory. Yeah.
Okay. And your father was a publican, meaning somebody who owned a pub, or we'd call it a bar or something like that in the States. And tell us the story of the title, Watch Me Rebuild. Give us the quick story and then why that was so inspiring to you.
Yeah, so I was born in 1967, and my generation is called Children of the Troubles. We were born just as the Troubles were happening there, and many of your listeners will know. And if they're not familiar, there was a, for 30 to 40 years, Northern Ireland ignited again violence between those who wanted to remain part of the United Kingdom and those who did not. And it touched everyone's lives, man, woman, and child. There wasn't a person over the 30 years was not impacted. We owned a pub. We lived above the pub. And when I was six, my parents were in Belfast shopping one day, and they came back. My father relieved the barman, and my mother went upstairs. She bought a dress for a wedding. And about 8:30 that evening, two IRA gunmen walked in. One of them got all the customers, held them against the wall at gunpoint, and the other placed a bomb and looked at my father and said, you've 5 minutes to clear the place before this goes off. And my father ran upstairs, got my four sisters and mother out. I was sleeping in bed. He grabbed me from the bed, ran down the stairs across the road, and the explosion went off. And literally, we saw our lives burn before us, and we were left with the clothes in our back. And yet in that moment, my memory, as a six-year-old, the only memory I have, or at least the most abiding memory, is my father raising a fist and just in an act of defiance and resilience said, watch me build again. And he did. He enacted that promise. And as terrible as all that is, and it was, and the trauma, what the memory is in that following week, my father managed to get a tent. He managed to get booze. He managed to get musicians. And 1 week after that event, you know, in the midst of the burning rubble almost, you know, the smoke rubble in one side of the parking lot, there was a tent and music and singing. And it was the biggest, you know, F you to that. And it's like, I'm going to get on and you're not going to get me down. And, you know, one side was what evil can do. And then the other side is the power of the human spirit and what hope can generate and the goodness of people and our ability to bounce back.
I loved that the way you started this book with that story, and I wanted people to hear it because it is so critical to the entire book. Because here's the thing: we're going to talk about, you know, emotional intelligence, and you know, we're not where we need to be, but there is an issue of resilience here that is a theme throughout the entire book when it comes to leadership. And you even talk about leadership is difficult. And it does require resilience, doesn't it? Because I think there's something there that we need to grasp onto. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I say this all the time. I believe that leadership is an act of courage. And I believe that we live in difficult times. We live in a world that is increasingly more difficult to manage, and in organizations that are difficult, more easy to manage. So, you know, for someone to step up and say, I will lead, takes courage. And it requires a lot of resilience because, you know, guarantees are gone. And the spotlight is on, and we live in a world that's more difficult than it ever has been. So for someone to take that, I mean, and I work with many, many leaders, as I'm sure you've had, and you know, so often their hearts are so in the right place and they struggle. And just that fight is moving, and to be there and to help people on that journey, I think is critical.
So let's talk about, because you do talk about the pub being an Irish phenomena, and I agree with you. And I think people are going to have questions, where does leadership fit in? And you give us four characteristics. So I'm just going to give you the title and I'm going to let you expand on them. Are you good with that?
Yeah. So you know, the pub, you know, the one question I get is why the pub? You know, the pub is nothing. Right. And yet here, you know, what got me was here's an institution that's been around hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And it's doing something right. Because people who go there, they say it's their local. There's an ownership about it. And so as you look at the pub, you know, there's a lot of research done about third places. These were places that people voluntarily went to. And so when you look at the pub, there's some interesting dynamics happening there. Number one, there's a level playing field. And so there's an equality there in the pub that people go, and it doesn't matter what your station in life, people end up having conversations. There's a desire to be there and a desire to want to return. And then also there is, at the heart of it as well, there isn't a need to be the perfect person. And so you can go there warts and all. In fact, perfection is not required. And people go there, you know, there's an expression saying, you know, that if Ireland didn't have pubs, it would have to double the percentage of psychiatrists. Because that's where we go. We go to kind of talk things out. And yet the pub provides this environment where people feel they can be vulnerable. And they feel that they can talk. So the pub has a lot of these qualities which are unique and I think provide many lessons, I think, for business leaders today and organizations.
Yeah, one of the characteristics you point out to, it's a home away from home, and you talk about that employees want jobs they actually care about. And I mm-hmm. thought that was really interesting because, you know, I think people will go, a pub, what does it have to do with business? But when we get there, you're right. It is a leveling place. It's a place where it doesn't matter what your walk of life is, who you are, anything. It's everybody's equal, right? At the pub, it's a place of happy conversation. Isn't that what we really want in our business, right? It's a place full of regulars. Who is more regular than the people that come into your office? And it's a place, I love that because I think that's what we want our businesses to be, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of our core as human being is the sense of belonging. We want to belong. We want to feel that we're going to someplace that has meaning. And ultimately, you know, I think we used to have cultures, business cultures, where people felt belonged. There was a commitment there. They felt it was fed. And now that's no longer the case. And so I think the pub teaches us that, you know, that really at the core is this search for meaning. And at the core, you know, the world or our work days are so long, so much of our time is spent at work. And for to be disengaged in some way from that experience and really it have no meaning whatsoever for us, it only leads to burnout.
That preaches. Listen to that, because that preaches right there. And I meant that purposely, by the way. That was a pun, because people have to read your story. Chapter 2 is entitled Not for the Faint-Hearted. And we already talked about it takes courage. But you talk about the external reality, the VUCA world, V-U-C-A world. Let's talk about and VUCA, by the way, stands for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguous. But you start talking that there is an internal response that happens because leaders are under so much pressure and they get emotionally triggered. Expand on that for me too, would you please?
So, VUCA is a term that's becoming wider used now. And it is the reality. We live in a world that is constantly changing. We live in a world where givens are, we can't trust anything. And we live in a world where it's complex, et cetera. So all of that, at the core of the human being is this notion, that desire to survive. And we put that above everything else. And so when you create an environment that's constantly changing, that nothing is sacred, that everything can, nothing can take it for granted, then it triggers us as human beings. We go into survival mode, and that doesn't help us when it comes to some of the thought process and some of the functioning and some of the behaviors we require for good leadership. So to really understand the situation we're in is critically important for any leader, and to recognize that it's really not the best environment that brings out the best behaviors.
You talk about that we have in this world that we currently live in, and it's not getting easier. You talk about that we have a need to expand our hardware. And I, by the way, I love the analogy, but maybe for the listener out there, they may go, well, what do you mean expand my hardware when it comes to emotional intelligence? Help us understand that.
Yeah, so I was trying to understand, so often the dirty word used for emotional intelligence, it's soft skills. it's something like you just throw on like a little bit of cream on top of a cake or something. And really, it is the hardest skills you ever want in a leader. So, very often we spend a lot on leadership training, billions of dollars a year. And I said, if you liken that to a computer, that's software. We get a new course, it's software, and we upload it. But we never think about the hardware. The hardware is how we're functioning. And you said it beautifully right at the beginning. We are physical beings, we are emotional beings, we are cognitive and social and psychological beings, and we are spiritual beings. That's our hardware. And if we're not constantly updating that, it doesn't matter what training we put in it, it's not going to function well. And so if our emotional intelligence is low, it doesn't matter the latest sales training that you get, et cetera, it's not going to operate at its peak capacity because we're operating with low emotional intelligence, and that impacts and permeates everything.
I have a smile on my face because I wish more people would grasp what you just said. Because we do not do a very good job of understanding the importance of the emotional intelligence and expanding our hardware. And, you talk about the four dimensions of emotional intelligence, self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and then social interaction. And which, I don't know, should we talk about those?
Sure. People always say, what is emotional intelligence? And I always say, if you want to understand emotional intelligence, here are four things that emotionally intelligent people do very well. Number one, they are self-aware. They know what emotion they're feeling in the moment, and they know the intensity of that emotion. They know what triggers them. They're able to have tools which can actively manage whatever emotional state they're in. They're able to recognize emotions in others. They're able to feel a room. They're able to show empathy to others. And then they're able to take all of this and manage the relationship towards an outcome and a goal that benefits all the parties concerned.
That's beautiful. That's just beautiful. Look, the book is entitled Leadership Lessons from the Pub. His name is Dr. Irvin Nugent. By the way, we just got started, and is he not brilliant? I told you he was, and he is, and you're going to love him because we got more to come. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, I have two amazing sponsors, Epic Physical Therapy and Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. And Epic Physical Therapy offers just an amazing array of services. Look, if you've had surgery, they offer that. If you are injured, they offer help with that. If you are a professional athlete, they work with professional athletes. If you have a young athlete who wants to get better at the sport, they offer help there. If you just want to move better, they offer help there. Listen, Epic Physical Therapy is the complete package. They are my physical therapists. I love them. I know the owners, Heidi and Andrew. I am telling you, they are fantastic. Their people are certified. They understand that they have to treat the body as a functional whole, not just the symptom or the injury. So when you're ready for your epic relief, when you're ready for your epic recovery, and when you're ready for epic results, go to Epic PT. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, for more than 35 years, she has been helping the world in the world of real estate. How does she do that? Well, she's independently owned and operated, and she has learned the power of making a relationship and making an authentic relationship and making them last. And that is why her clients to this day say she is the legend of customer service. So listen, when you want to sell your home, buy your home, regardless of where you're at in the world, start with Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. They can help you find an expert in your area, or they can help you in the Research Triangle Park. Just go to lindacraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Dr. Irvin Nugent and his book, Leadership Lessons from the Pub. And man, we packed a lot of stuff into about 15 minutes. I was like, wow, we've covered a lot. So let's move on to chapter three. And now, Irvin, you have to promise me that if I pronounce these Gaelic words incorrectly, that you'll correct me, okay? But I'm working on my Gaelic here, okay? So chapter three is Mind the Crack. Did I get that correct?
Perfect. Okay.
Which is Irish for a fun atmosphere. And the first lesson that you teach us from the pub is you get to set the tone. What do you mean we get to set the tone as a leader? Talk about that.
Well, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic, and we're in the midst of this invisible virus that everyone has become aware of, and we all are reacting to that in different ways, but we're all reacting to it in some way. And really, you know, emotions are contagious. We know that we catch the emotions of other people. There's research is replete of examples of people catching the mood that another person's in. And we also know that leaders have a special place in that, that leaders defer a lot, or people defer a lot to leaders. So therefore, the leader gets to set the tone, because how they show up will be caught by others. It will feed itself through the organization. And it's something at times we leaders don't think a lot about. But I always say, be very purposeful. Be very purposeful first thing in the morning when you walk in. What tone do you want to send? What is your intention? And be very purposeful to check in throughout the day, because that has an impact. You know, if you go in full of anxiety, if you go in with some anger, et cetera, it will impact those around you. And if you're astute enough, you'll catch it. You'll catch how people are reacting. So this is a fundamental piece of emotional intelligence and a fundamental way that a leader influences everything that's happening around them.
Your dad had a quote on page 36 that I just felt was so powerful. Whatever mood you are in will be reflected back to you by the customers within an hour.
Yeah.
You don't think about those things. I worked as a bartender for a dozen years. Mm-hmm. And so and I worked as a bartender and a bouncer and manager of a restaurant. And it is so true. I remember when I was managing, I used to tell my people, you know what? It doesn't matter what happened in your day to day or how bad it was. You have got to be in a great mood, because whatever mood that you're in is going to be reflected in your customer. And it's going to be reflected in your tips, by the way. Yeah. If you're in a bad mood, they aren't tipping well. If you're in a great mood, regardless of what happens in the kitchen, you're going to be okay. It is so important. And I don't think that leaders understand that you have got to come into your place of business, regardless of how big and regardless of how small, you've got to be in a great mood. Because you talk about how contagious our emotions, and you actually bring up a study from Aalto, which is University of Finland, where when people are in conversation, that the brain activity is such that people begin to sync with each other. And then you start talking about emotional contagion. Uh-oh, here's some psych words. Help us understand emotional contagion.
So it's contagious in the sense that people catch it. So that's just another way of saying catch it. So we walk in and say our mood is one of anxiety, then that anxiousness will be felt by others and caught by others. And so what we know is that when people are hooked up to different monitors, heart rates begin to sync, all the different vital signs begin to sync. That's how we influence each other's, because, you know, we kind of think of organizations as kind of a relationship among two people, but really a better way to think of an organization, it's a system. And it's like a cobweb. And so if you disturb one little thing in the cobweb, it's felt throughout it all. And in an organization, how you show up is influenced and distributed throughout the whole organization. And there's a story I tell in the book about how one of my first jobs was in the Foreign Office. And I was nothing more than kind of the person that delivered the mail and the tea. But I was told I better befriend the person in the front because she knew everything. And so I did. And one of the first signs she gave me was a thumbs up and a thumbs down. No idea what she was talking about. But eventually I learned that the thumbs up was the boss came in a good mood. Thumbs down, as they used to say, it was an unmedicated day. And that just influenced, as I walked around the organization, you know, on the unmedicated days, people had their doors shut, no one was talking. And then in the good days, people were laughing, etc. So you could just see it in the hallways. The impact of that thumbs up and thumbs down day.
I love that. That was just such a great story, as all the stories are in this book. But I want people to know about this book too, is that you've offered chapter activities at the end of each of these lessons. And these are really great practical activities allowing you to check in, kind of like what we do in the show. You actually kind of check in. This first activity was checking in with your emotional state before you enter a meeting. Where are you at? And then you have some lessons in the toolbox, and they can learn more by going to leadershiplessonsfromthepub.com/toolbox to get these lessons. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Important for me is, you know, emotional intelligence is as good as it's practiced. And I could have written a very theoretical book about it, but at the end of the day, it's about practice. There is no shortcut to emotional intelligence. And so I really wanted to provide people with actionable tools that they could use day in, day out.
Awesome. I love it. By the way, I loved it. I thought it was great. It was a great check-in for me too, by the way. Chapter 4, I'm triggered now what? Lesson number 2, you have the power to choose your response even when you're triggered. We kind of talked about this in the intro of this show, but I am interested in something that a term that you've created called the trigger print. And I thought that was fascinating. Let's talk about being triggered and the trigger print.
Yeah. So, you know, we all have fingerprints and we know that our fingerprints are unique. And also, you know, we have a pattern. We are, as human beings, there are patterns which we can uncover. And one of the patterns that we uncover in our lives is events that we are triggered to emotionally and how we tend to show up and behave in those moments. And if we reflect enough upon those moments, we're going to see the patterns. And that's what I like to call our trigger print. And sometimes our trigger prints are very common. So, you know, some of us, most human beings, if they're dropped, like if you go to a ride in Disney and you go to one of those rides that kind of wait, and it drops, all of us will show emotion of fear or terror, etc. But other triggers are different. And so we've learned them as we've grown up, either from childhood or adulthood, etc. And they're our unique pattern. And there is wisdom to be learned when we pay attention to those, because we can anticipate potentially how we might show up and patterns of our behavior.
I just loved that, because I don't think we thought about how unique we are emotionally. And I just found that fascinating. I was actually a little jealous that I didn't invent it, to be honest with you, because I went, of course we're all subtly different because the dimensions run so wide, and we would have a different emotional response, a trigger to anything that happens in our lives, good or bad. And so we do have a signature trigger print. That we have there. You had, I one of the things that I loved about your trigger print when we get triggered, and by the way, I think we have a difficult time understanding that we can control our responses. Mm-hmm. Do you run across that a lot? I run that across that a lot when I coach clients, and that they seem to think that things happen to them that they have no control over their response. So they will say things like, well, they made me do this, or they made me feel this way, or, well, if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have felt this. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think there is a danger. You know, sometimes there are a couple of things when it comes to our emotional life that get me going. One is that, you know, we have good and bad emotions. That just sets me off. We do not. We have emotions. And those emotions, depending on how we choose to display them, can be either constructive or destructive. Mm. And then the second thing is, you know, I take that when a leader says that to me, sometimes I'll say, you know, okay, fair enough. But do you want to begin a journey where you will have greater insight into those moments? Because you have a choice. Your choice is you can just remain in that, well, you know, they made me do it. Or do you really want to raise your awareness where you have the power to choose a response? And if that's the case, then we'll start a journey. And what we'll do is we'll probably begin to take moments where you regret some behaviors. And instead of just saying they made me do it, just saying, well, what was it? What was the trigger point? Why was I so annoyed? What was it they said? What is it what they did? And are there patterns? Do I see that at other places in my life? And then once we've done that, we can think, oh, okay. So now I know when I'm in situations like this, then a pattern can be this, and this is how I feel, and this is how I physically respond. And now can I come up with some ways that I might want to change that behavior? It's our choice.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult concept for people to grasp. I find that oftentimes when I work with leaders that sometimes they will say, well, you know, it's just the way I am.
Yeah.
And you're not going to change that. And you're right. If you don't want to, we will never change it. But I mean, it can change, can't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. We can. We no matter how deep grained the trigger patterns are, we might not stop the trigger, but what we can certainly do is manage it. And we can put you in a situation where you're choosing behaviors that serve you and serve others. Because, you know, it's the Dr. Phil question, you know, when people are like that is how's that serving you? You know, how's, you know, and it's not, you know, it's like, well, do you want to change that? And you can.
How's that working for you?
Yeah, how's that working for you? Yeah.
Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? Well, Dr. Phil, it's actually not working very well for me, thanks, at the moment. Chapter 5, and it's entitled Here Comes Everybody. And lesson number 3, you have the power to build community. And you start off this chapter and you give us some, I think, statistics that may surprise people, so I'm just going to share a few of them. Gallup survey found that 33% of employees are engaged, 51% are not engaged, and have not been for some time. Disengaged employees cost companies between $450 and $500 billion per year. Your father has another great quote on page 59 in this chapter. He says, the pub is more than a place to go and have a drink. It is much more than that. Indeed, my father used to say, I am not in the business of selling drink. Rather, I am offering a home where everyone is welcome. And you talk about some of the characteristics of the pub that we should have in our business. Let's talk through, you know, building community and those characteristics that are so important and the lessons that you learn from the pub that we need to apply back into business.
Yeah, so we know that businesses function well and businesses perform well when everyone feels included and everyone feels they have a voice at the table, and we're actively encouraging and including that. And so, you know, this whole notion of psychological safety, that whenever people are invited and people feel that they can do some, and I'm talking about people able to share their deepest, darkest secrets. That's not what I'm talking about. But some basic things that we don't have right, the ability to ask for help, the ability to say, you know what, I messed up and I got it wrong. All of these, there's a culture around that in a business, and that becomes incredibly important. People want to feel that they're part of a team. They want to feel that they're part of a community. And so there are some hallmarks of that. One is this culture around mistakes. The second one is listening. You know, are we truly able to listen? And are we listening to others? And then the third one is, do we have empathy? You know, are we able to connect with people and really to help them know that we are listening to them?
You know, you talk about the importance of empathy, and it is one of those, and it's something that we can develop, by the way. And you make a point of that too, is that we can develop it, but you also give a statistic. You said leaders, little thing here that you sent me in your book, and I'm just flipping it around. I don't know why. Folks, I know you're listening to it. If you're wondering what it is, it lets you put your, what do you call this thing?
It's a beer mat.
Beer mat. Thank you. That he has. It's got a little poem on the back. Sorry, I'm flipping it around. The importance of empathy. You said leaders with higher levels of empathetic skills show 40% higher ratings in overall performance planning and decision making. The companies they work for showed higher levels of engagement. So let's talk about, though, why we don't, in our leadership, in our leadership webinars or classes or whatever, why don't we have that as a particular subject matter, empathy?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think part of it is, I think it falls into this whole misunderstanding that either you have it or you don't. And I think... We don't really critically, again, I think we see it as soft. And I think, you know, what I think is we also think of empathy as someone who is overly sympathetic and someone who is like, you know, is this soft person, loving person, etc. But, you know, empathy is not about being soft or, and it's not all about love. Love is there, but empathy is really about connection. It's about helping another person really understand that you know what they're saying, that you have some capacity to understand what they're going through. You don't necessarily have to agree with them. That doesn't mean you can't challenge them. It doesn't mean ultimately that you can't fire the person, etc. But what empathy does is it really helps in that connection. And if you have that connection, then you're going to be able to increase understanding. You're going to be able to increase participation, motivation. All of that goes into it. So, you know, I think at times that's maybe why we don't have a lot of work on empathy among these different courses that people go to.
Well, I think you and I need to design a leadership course, and we need to have a half a day on empathy. Because I really do. The University of Michigan study that you have quoted in this book has found that 40% of leaders felt they were adequate in levels of empathy. And you know, as you're describing it, one of the things, you know, is the ability to understand and walk in another person's shoes.
Yeah.
Right. And that's really the empathetic response. You said it brilliantly. You know, it doesn't mean that I have to be soft. It doesn't mean that I have to be wimpy. It doesn't have to mean any of those things. It doesn't mean I can't fire you. But I do understand. And that other person understands that I understand. Yeah. And I think that's the key to empathy, is that I'm not feeling sorry for you. That's sympathy. Empathy is, I understand what you're walking through, and I really am. And that person really is assured that you really do, because empathy, it releases you from judgment.
Absolutely. And then I go even another aspect of it as well, Jay, is that, you know, with, when it comes to decision-making and buy-in, you know, if a person doesn't feel that they've been heard, if a person doesn't feel that their ideas are being respected, all of which could happen when someone is empathetic and makes that connection, you're not going to get buy-in. And, you know, this is a critical failing in a lot of businesses. They make all these decisions and people, they're not really bought in because they don't feel that they've been listened to as well. So this is, you know, this underpinning as well, which impacts so many different areas of business life.
Yeah, I think this is just such a critical part, is the CEO's management. Empathy is a huge piece. As a matter of fact, I would say there's not an area in business. I would even say salespeople, if you want to really connect with your potential customer, understanding empathy and having greater empathy is, to me, would be the ultimate key to being a great salesperson.
Absolutely.
Would you not agree with that?
I mean, oh, totally. This ability to come into a situation, to read a person, and then to make connections and you know, to genuinely be interested in another person. You know, that's the, you know, sometimes we kind of think of sales as the dirty word, you know, and it's kind of like using it as a technique. But this is, but you know, empathy will fail there. People will sense that. But if you are truly interested in the other person and in their well-being and want to make that connection, you're going to hit sales out the roof.
I love that. His name is Dr. Irvin Nugent. The book is Leadership Lessons from the Pub. Fantastic. Get it available at Amazon bookstores near you. You're listening to him here on A New Direction. Folks, listen, I talk about Epic Physical Therapy every week. I can't get enough of them. Their facilities, and I said facilities because it's plural, offers the most advanced top-of-the-line equipment, including the AlterG anti-treadmill. Anti-gravity treadmill, which allows you to run without feeling pressure on your joints. The Normatec compression sleeves, which as somebody who's still an avid lifter, that compression is just awesome. And then the Game Ready, which is ice cold water and pressure, taking the swelling out of your body. They are certified in the most comprehensive cutting edge treatments available, blood flow restriction therapy, dry needling, cupping, that's just a few. Listen, when you're ready for your epic relief, your epic recovery, and your epic results, don't go anyplace else. Go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors, for over 35 years, they are at the top of the real estate game. They help people wherever they are at in the world. They can help you sell your home. They can help you buy your home. And what they're going to do is they're going to make an empathetic response to understanding your situation so that you can have the best knowledge and that you will have the best people working for you and with you. So when you're ready to sell or buy your home, go to the relationship leaders. Go to lindacraftandteam.com. That's lindacraft.com. That's L-I-N-D-A. CRAFT.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with Dr. Irvin Nugent and his book, Leadership Lessons from the Pub. And we are you having a good time?
Absolutely. I'm loving this.
I always ask that, you know, because I know it's kind of hard because, you know, we're doing this, you know, live and recorded all at the same time. And I go, you know, I wonder if they're really having a good time doing this, because I'm like going, you know, we're covering the book and we're covering so much information. I'm like going, are you really having, because I'm having a blast. I get to sit in this chair and I just get to drool the whole time going, I'm learning. And so for me, I'm having this amazing time and I feel so selfish because I get to learn all this stuff from the masters, and it's great. So I'm having a great time. I hope you are, Irvin, and I hope all of you listeners are too, for sure. And by the way, just to let you know, listen, we are on we're on pretty much every platform there is on the podcast. So whether you're listening to us at Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Pandora Radio, iHeartRadio, and hundreds of others, I want to thank you. But do me a favor, will you please? Why don't you also give me a positive rating on the show? That would be great for us as well. And also, listen, we are coast to coast on radio stations all over the United States, and even in Ireland and in the Philippines. So I know I'm in Belfast. I forgot all about that. Irvin, this show actually goes out Belfast on radio. It's on an internet radio station in Belfast. I'd completely forgot about that. But they do. They take my show and they run it every week. So this is pretty cool to have that on. So folks, tell the people who are doing the show to say thank you for having A New Direction on their show. I would appreciate it. Let's talk about sharpening our listening skills, because listening skills, and we talk about it a lot, but let's talk about embracing and expanding these skills. And I'm just going to throw these out, some of these out, and you kind of just roll with it. Can we do that? So the first thing is don't interrupt. Okay, whoa. I know that sounds intuitive, but what are we really doing there?
Well, what we're really doing is shutting down. We're shutting down a person. And what we want to do is let the person know that we are engaged with them. And as soon as we interrupt, et cetera, then the message to the person is, what you're saying is really not that important, because I need to interrupt here. And you don't want to cut people halfway off. Now, eventually in a conversation, if it's kind of getting long and long, that there may be something, but at the beginning of a conversation, it's critically important just to let a person flow where they're going. We miss so much information when we shut people down.
Yeah, you talk about one of the things in the barriers is that we get, I think that interruption comes from the rehearsing piece, you know, where we're trying to think about, this is what I'm going to say. And I wonder if we get caught into that interrupting because we don't want to lose what we have to say.
Yeah, so it can come very, absolutely. It can come from that, totally. Or it can come sometimes as well, we listen to something, we disagree with it, and we kind of go, hold up, stop, you know? And so it's this inability to almost, you know, contain that and to put it there and know we can come back to it.
I love this one. This one I think is one that we should all employ when it comes to listening. Be curious, expand that.
So curiosity, let me tell you, there are two things that I always say when it comes to emotional intelligence, that if you're going to grow emotional intelligence, there are two mindsets that are important. One is curiosity. So it's the curiosity about self to realize that we are constantly evolving as human beings and that it doesn't matter what age you are, every day is an opportunity to learn more about yourself and every day is an opportunity to learn more about other people. And then the second mindset is humility. To know that you don't know it all, to know that no matter how emotionally intelligent you are, that today's an opportunity to get it right, but also to screw up, but it's also learning. And so to have the humility to know that. So those two mindsets are critically important. And to be genuine, when you are curious about another person, they feel it. They really feel that interest and it impacts the conversation.
Ask questions.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, I think we get so caught up into stating our opinion that we don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I mean, as leaders as well, and at least in our culture, there's a bias towards movement, a bias towards getting things done, et cetera. And I think at times we forget to ask some critical questions. And questions can give us information. Questions can let other voices be heard. And used intelligently, they make for better decisions.
I thought this was interesting when it came to listening, expanding our listening skills. You said, watch your body language.
Yeah. Well, you know, so we also speak a language which is nonverbal, and depending, we can do subtle things that can give the other person the knowledge that we're engaged with them. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. I work with some accountants, and one of them were talking about how he used to go to a supervisor for a conversation, and the first thing the supervisor did is they came from behind the desk and sat side by side with the person, and just nonverbally that indicated everything. It indicated, I don't want this barrier of a desk between us. I'm engaged with you. I'm separating myself from the computer. So these nonverbals are critical because they also speak a language of engagement.
I love that. Of course, putting your phone away is critically important in today's world. The last one that you have here is acknowledge emotions.
Mm. Yeah, so often, you know, we don't acknowledge the emotions. You know, when a person is very angry, we know one of the great techniques of de-escalation is actually to acknowledge the anger and to call it out and say, you're angry. And you can help people as well, you know, because I think you mentioned it at the beginning, we all vary in our literacy, in our ability to name emotions. And some people's literacy of emotions is very narrow. And so to be able to kind of name the emotion, the frustration, et cetera, that can be very helpful for people. It might seem obvious to us, but when a person is in a zone or in a mood, you know, just naming what they're going through and can be really helpful for them and can lead to some breakthroughs in conversations.
Yeah, I think it's, by the way, I'm a psychological professional, and I have to tell you that I literally was in a counseling session. I go to therapy occasionally because I need it and because I want it, because it's like going to the doctor. You get a checkup, right? So I remember, this is decades ago, he gave me a sheet of emotions and to improve my emotional grammar before I got married. And it was so that I had more varying you know, because I was typically, I grew up on a farm and, you know, I'm pretty much was a guy, you know, kind of, okay, I'm happy, I'm sad, and I'm angry. That's it, you know, yeah. But there's variations in between there. And man, expanding my emotional vocabulary was huge for me. Not only to help me understand the subtleties of myself in awareness, but it helped me so much better in understanding others. And I think, you know, that's why I make a big point about it at the beginning of the show is in expanding our emotional vocabulary. We just need to expand it so that we can, because it does allow us, it goes back to empathy. I cannot be empathetic if I don't have enough of an emotional vocabulary.
Yeah. And the other thing I would just say as well, you know, what can be helpful for people that maybe are struggling, they don't have that, you know, I think you name it, you know, I'm angry. Well, tell me a little bit about it, describe it. And then sometimes I always say to people, you know, in a 0 to 1 to 10, where would you rank this anger? Is this a 10 anger or is this a 1 anger? Or is this a 5 anger? And then, you know, there are other words around this, you know, and so there's different, I think intensity is important as well. And it can really be helpful for the people like, oh, okay, if I can put a number to it, then that can be really helpful to describing this situation.
I love that. Let's move on to chapter 6. And again, you get to correct me. I think it's Fado. Thank you. Once upon a time. And lesson number 4 is, here we go. You are called to be a Shanaki. Did I do that right?
You did. Perfect.
Okay. And so you actually have a subtitle called The Leader as a Shanaki. Mm-hmm. Help us understand what a Shanaki is and the leader as a Shanaki. This is beautiful. It's based in your roots of Northern Ireland, in Ireland. And so I think it's just beautiful. So if you help us understand that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so many, many, many cultures have this notion of the person that tells the story. In Ireland, we have a beautiful word for it called Shanaki, and it's a word that's hard to translate, but it's a rich word. But one of the ways I think you can translate it is the keeper of the history, the keeper of the story. And it's such a powerful dimension that we as human beings thrive and we eat story. You know, story is, we had story before we had language. And so therefore that this ability to make meaning, we are meaning makers, and story helps us make meaning. And one of the roles of a leader is to make meaning for the organization. One of the roles of a leader is to set forth a vision. One of the roles of a leader is to carry people with them. And a story has a unique power to make emotional connection. And so I like to say, you know, the CEO has to be the CSO, has to be the chief storyteller officer, because in story, they can grab people's attention. They can make an emotional connection to the values that they're trying to espouse. They can move people through a change process by envisioning that in a story. So all of this incredible tool is something that leaders should be using.
I loved CSO. I think there has to be a CSO in every business, the chief storytelling officer. I want that to be in every business. And that's the first person I want to go to. I think that if you were doing an interview, the chief storytelling officer, the CSO, needs to be in that meeting. If you were going to make a big change, the CSO needs to be there, because they are the holder of the history and of everything and the different situations that are there. And I do agree with you. I think the CEO must be also the CSO. But I think you should develop other CSOs within your company, because you're not always going to be the CEO.
Yep.
And you're going to end up being a CESO somewhere else. Yep. And so this notion of a CSO, chief storytelling officer, to me is just critical, because they are powerful. The way we started the show with your story, in Northern Ireland when you were 6. I mean, it's a powerful story, because it's that story that transcends nearly 50 years later, you know, I don't mean to age you that much, but I mean, but 40 some odd years later, I mean, that transcends, because it's that story that we get this book. Things, beautiful things come out of tragedy and stories. And to have them at our availability is huge, because they do, as you point out, they make meaning, they fully engage us, right? And we need to probably be practicing this more in our businesses.
Absolutely. And to be, you know, so often I'll get a little resistance. Oh, I'm not a storyteller, you know, et cetera. And I said, well, first of all, storytelling, there is a formula. Hollywood has existed on it for years. It's why it's so popular. So it's very easy to learn. But, you know, even more critical is I think we're not aware. We miss so many stories that are happening right before us. So I always like build a story vault. You know, you have this amazing treasure within. And what that treasure is these different stories that are happening day in, day out that can be pulled and shown as an example and used to motivate and to build.
It's beautiful. You know what, Irvin, we have been on the show for almost an hour and we're winding the show down. I've had a terrific time with you. This has been awesome. It's gone so fast, by the way. And so folks, listen, the book is entitled Leadership Lessons from the Pub, Harnessing the Power of Emotional Intelligence to Build a Fully Engaged Workplace. You can pick this up at Amazon bookstores near you. I'm going to have a write-up of this book on the blog post that's associated with this show at jizzo.com. And we will also have the links to the toolbox, to the resources, to because we put back links to his resources that you could get. And I've downloaded some of them. They're fantastic. But I'm just telling you, this is a great book. I think it's going to be great for you as a leader. It's going to be great for you as a salesperson. It's going to be great for your people as a company to walk through it. And by the way, Irvin is also part of the NSA, the National Speakers Association, as am I. And he's a professional speaker. You can find his eSpeakers profile. So, you know, hire him because you know how I feel about my fellow colleagues. Hire him. So Irvin, last thing for you to do is the show's called A New Direction because we help people find a new direction in their a life, career, and business. If you could leave people with a new direction based on your book, Leadership Lessons from the Pub, what would that be?
I would say that emotional intelligence is something that can be grown each and every day of our life. You are never too old. If you're listening to this program and you're saying, you know what, I'm 65, it's too late. You can't teach an old horse new tricks. Well, sorry, yes, you can. And every day is an opportunity to grow in emotional intelligence. And here's my promise. If you take the commitment that you will understand yourself better, understand people better, and ultimately you'll have a happier life. And if that's not a good promise, then I don't know what is. So seize the day, is never too late, and be emotionally happy.
His name is Dr. Irvin Nugent. The book, again, Leadership Lessons from the Pub. Folks, you know what? You have control. As you've heard Dr. Nugent say, you have control over your emotions, right? It doesn't matter. You have control over two things, your attitude and your effort at all times. Take control of them. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can control your attitude and your effort, and that can change the world around you, and it will change you ultimately. I'll be back next week with another great guest. It's going to be another great book. It's going to be another great show. And as I say to you every week, shalom.
A new direction.
Awesome.
Yep. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come. Your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry anymore. A new direction. Yeah.